podcast. We hope you're encouraged by this message.
And so if you are visiting with us, you have come right in the middle of a series we are calling Supernatural. Supernatural is our current series. We're up to part three. And the definition of supernatural refers to that which exists outside of the natural realm and what is above and beyond the natural realm. How many of you know that God is a supernatural God? Our faith is supernatural. I've been saying this every week, but let me just repeat it. We have a supernatural Christianity, a supernatural God, a supernatural Jesus, a supernatural Holy Spirit, a supernatural Bible, supernatural prayers, a supernatural mindset, and supernatural power. Christianity is supernatural. In week one, we talked about the realities of the spiritual realm, the unseen realm that is around us even today, that we don't just live on this planet. We don't just inhabit this planet, but we cohabit this planet with an unseen realm. Last week, I love sharing on this message about this idea that we can walk in supernatural strength and supernatural power for the battles that you and I face. We've been learning that a lot of our struggles and battles in life are spiritual in origin. And if we don't understand how to move and operate in that realm, we'll find ourselves unequipped to overcome in life. And God wants you to overcome, right? Doesn't want you just to struggle. And so I want to continue on with that theme this week. So the thing about warfare is this, conventional warfare anyway. One of the chief rules of any warfare is you have to know your enemy. You have to know your enemy. In fact, you can never be successful as a soldier if you don't know something of the tactics of the enemy. It's really important. It's true in military conflict, and it's true in spiritual conflict. I said in, I think it was message one or message two, that I don't really like talking about the devil too much because I think I don't want him to get much focus because our focus should be on Jesus. That being said, however, if we don't understand the way he works and what he does, then we won't know how to fight him and be equipped to take on the battles that we face. But the second rule of warfare is this, it's know your weapons. Know your enemy, know your weapons. A soldier that goes into battle that doesn't know how to use their weapons is a useless soldier. They have to understand the arsenal that is at their disposal. And the same is true spiritually. So I want to look at this morning of the topic, the supernatural weapons of God. The supernatural weapons of God is what I want to look at this morning. By the way, have you noticed that one of the favorite Aussie expressions that we use is weapon? Or is that just me? Aussies love the word weapon. In fact, when Americans come out, they say that if they are referred to as a weapon, they kind of look at us a bit strange because they're like, you Aussies like to use the word weapon a lot. So if someone calls you a weapon, it's a compliment. In fact, there's this one guy that comes to Thrive every now and again from Sydney. He was on a TV show once. Anyway, he loves my preaching. And every time when I finish, he always comes up and says, man, you are such a weapon. You are a weapon. And at first when he said it, I kind of didn't understand, but now I've realized it is a compliment. So weapon's a good thing. You are a weapon too. I'm a weapon. We're all weapons. But seriously, we are engaged in a spiritual conflict and you cannot fight it with worldly weapons. You really can't. You're wasting your time. You need supernatural weapons to obtain supernatural victories. Let me say that again. You need supernatural weapons to obtain supernatural victories. Look at what it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3 to 4. Paul writes this. For though we live in the world, we can't deny the fact that we are flesh and blood. We're living in the realities of this physical world. We do not wage war as the world does. We don't wage it the same way as the world. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power. There's that term again. We talked about that last week. They have divine power to demolish strongholds. The Apostle Paul speaks of a divine power that has the ability to destroy every demonic stronghold that the enemy tries to build up. If you don't learn how to fight using supernatural weapons of God, you'll find yourself powerless to fight against the strongholds the enemy wants to build up in your life. The enemy tries to build, that word stronghold literally means fortress. The enemy's trying to build fortresses up in people's thinking, within society institutions, trying to build strongholds of society to bring people into bondage. But how many of you know that Jesus is all about freedom? The enemy is about restriction and bondage and getting people all bound up. God has come for freedom. And so we have to understand how to walk in these supernatural weapons if we want that. And so I said last week that if you try to fight spiritual battles in your own strength, it is total foolishness. You're not strong enough, you're not smart enough, you're not equipped enough in your own strength to fight these wars that we find ourselves in. And so worldly weapons, and look, I'm guilty of all of these things, worldly weapons like human intellect, wealth, talent, organizational skills, charisma, and personality are completely inadequate to pull down the strongholds of the enemy. In fact, I think, if I can just be honest, one of the temptations for the modern church, one of the greatest temptations of the modern church, is to try to meet the world's challenges through worldly weapons. We get so influenced by the business world and the secular world and the corporate world. Let's learn from everything, but let's never fall for the temptation that if we are going to meet the challenges of our society and the challenges that we see in the communities around us, we need to meet them with the way God instructs us to meet those challenges. Otherwise, we're just dealing with symptoms for the rest of our life and never dealing with spiritual root causes. I think that's important to know. Worldly weapons like humanistic wisdom, philosophy, human psychology, political solutions, worldly weapons. And some good stuff in that. It's not all bad. But the problem with those weapons, right, the problem with the way the world wants to fight is they have zero power to deal with the issue of sin, which is the greatest problem in humanity. I know that's not a popular thing to say, even in the church, that sin is the reason. We see so much destruction on the earth today. It has zero power to overcome the power of sin, zero power to rescue people from darkness, zero power to heal the sick, and zero power to bring supernatural breakthrough into people's lives. We need supernatural weapons. So I want to look at this morning some of these weapons that God has given us, a fresh look at them, and the weapons that God has made available for you and I. And we are going to look at the armor of God. And I really wanted to go and find like one of those play dress-up things. I couldn't find one. I found like a plastic sword, but I realized if I couldn't get the whole thing, it wasn't going to be worthwhile. So I really wanted to do that. Anyway, sorry for all of you guys that love the visual. I didn't get to do that this time. But let's have a look at some of these weapons in Ephesians chapter 6. And I think the last time I shared on this was probably 2 or 3 years ago. And I think it's important just to have a look at this every now and again, just so you're equipped and you're aware of what we have at our disposal. And so let's read from chapter 6 of Ephesians, verse 10. So Paul says this, starting with the verse from last week. Finally, remember that word finally, remember what I said last week? Finally, meaning importantly, the most important thing you have to understand. Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. Here we go again. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood. It's not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God. In my Bible, I've underlined the phrase full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, not if the day of evil comes, when it comes, you will be able to stand your ground. How many of you know that right now, so much of spiritual warfare is about standing your ground? It's taking a stand for the truth. It's taking a stand for Christ. It's taking a stand for morality. It's taking a stand for the things that Jesus takes a stand for. But if you're going to take that posture, you can guarantee you will be attacked. Just saying. I'm not going to keep reading the rest of the verse because I'm going to unpack it a bit more as we go on. And notice that Paul says twice to put on the full armor of God. Now, when he uses the phrase whole armor or full armor, it's taken from this Greek word and it refers to a Roman soldier who is fully dressed. Not partially dressed, fully dressed. It's important to understand that the armor of God is not that useful if it's used in isolation. It's all together, working together. It's important. Paul literally says, get dressed. Get dressed. How many of you know this is not Paul's fashion advice for the Ephesian church? It's like, get dressed for success. Now, that's just an old Roxette song. I loved Roxette. Are there any Roxette fans in the house? Yeah, there's more. I feel so validated. Like, the radio comes on now, and the first thing Savannah always says, that is like the 80s. Like, I love 80s music, but I grew up loving Roxette, The Look, Get Dressed for Success, all of those songs. I'm serious. If they came to Australia and did a concert, I would so be there at that concert. Christmas present ideas if they come. Love Roxette. Anyway, Paul says, get dressed for success. No, don't. Brian's like, cut the mic. But Paul says, get dressed for the battle of your life. Get dressed for the battle of your life. Get dressed, pull on your armor, get your armor on. You're all just, I've lost you. You're all just thinking about the bad singing before. Get your armor on, get your weapons ready. And this is so important. You have to not miss this. This is so important that you get the full armor of God on and that you get dressed. Why? Because the enemy cannot defeat you if he cannot disarm you. He cannot defeat you if he cannot disarm you. He can't defeat you if he cannot disarm you. I think that's really important to remember. And so I want to take a look at this morning the seven pieces of armor that Paul refers to in this, and we'll unpack it and we'll spend some time on it. And I'll share some interesting things that I think you'll find interesting as we look at it. Now, some of you are thinking, no, Paul doesn't say seven, he says six, but I'll get to that. I promise you, he refers to seven. I'm not a heretic, I promise. And so, because when Paul wrote this, more than likely he was chained to a Roman prison guard who would have had this armor. And so he would have got a real good look close up at this armor. And isn't it amazing how God can use anything to communicate truths? It's just incredible. I just think it's a great thought. So the first thing Paul says, he says, put on the belt of truth. Put on the belt of truth. Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist. The belt of truth. You know, the belt was the first piece of armor that the soldier put on. The very first thing, before anything else was put on in the armor of God or the armor, it was the belt. In fact, everything else the soldier needed for the battle was useless without the belt. You have to understand this, that even the sword and the shield would be clipped to the belt. Without the belt, the rest of the armor was useless. And you know that truth is the central part of the armor. Truth is important. Literally, the soldier's army would literally come apart piece by piece if the belt of truth was not put in place. The belt was central. It's so important. In fact, without the belt, the breastplate had nowhere to attach to. You have to understand this, that the Roman army without the belt, so if the belt came undone, he was in trouble. And the same is true in your life. When you remove the truth from God's word, from the center of your belief and value system, it will not be long before things begin to fall apart spiritually in your life. It's true. Because the Bible says that the enemy, his number one tool is deception. Deception. He's only really got one trick. Lie. Lies. Lies. And so truth is so important that it remains at the center of all that we are and do. The truth of God's word, the truth of who Jesus is. And once truth is removed, demonic assaults can begin to penetrate our lives. He has legal access because you have gone into agreement with lies. The truth must stay central. I'm telling you the truth this morning about this stuff. It's so important that you have it central. I think, if we can just go there for a second, one of the greatest deceptions the enemy has perpetuated on modern culture is this, is that truth is not absolute, it's only relative. In other words, there's no absolute truth. Truth is relative. It's a contradiction in terms, actually. It can't be relative. But anyway, he says, you know, truth is not absolute. It's whatever's true for you. Your truth is your truth. Walk in your truth. There's no absolute truth. It's the biggest con job. There is an absolute truth. His name is Jesus, and that is the truth. And I think that's very important. And the more you keep truth central to your life by studying the word and knowing the scriptures, the more you find yourself walking strong in the armor of God. In fact, I was reading this thing about, you know, there's that movie, Catch Me If You Can. I love that with Leonardo DiCaprio. True story where he like becomes a money forger. Such a cool story. And to for the FBI because he's so good at defrauding that they realize, oh, we need him to help identify counterfeit money. And so when someone from the U.S. Treasury is trained on how to detect counterfeit money, they don't put them in the room with counterfeit money. They train them by giving them the real thing. And the more they study and spend time with the real thing and the genuine thing, the more they become aware of what's counterfeit. And the same in your life. The more you know the word of God, the more the truth is operating in your life, the more likely you are to be able to spot a counterfeit and a lie long before it gets to you. That's why truth has to stay central. Amen? So important. You know what the genuine is. Who I am in Christ. Who Christ says you are. What Christ's plan is for the earth and Christ's plan for life. You have to know the truth. Yeah? All right, let's keep moving because there's a lot to say. The breastplate of righteousness. The breastplate of righteousness. So he says in verse 14, stand firm with the belt of truth buckled, truth center. Oh, I was just going to say one more thing about truth. Just one more thing. I think sometimes here's the challenge. The belt was here. I think sometimes it's not that we fully remove the truth. We just remove it from the center. It just gets moved almost to the peripheral. It's no longer the center. It's there somewhere. It's just not at the center. Just a thought. Anyway, that might mean something for some of you. So the breastplate of righteousness, he goes on to say, get the truth buckled with the breastplate of righteousness in place. Now, the breastplate is pretty cool. You know, I didn't realize this, but it was actually the heaviest part of the soldier's arsenal. The armor, it was so heavy because it was like you would put it over you and it would cover a part of your back and the front. So you would literally put it on like a, I guess like a shirt. And it extended from the base of your neck down to the bottom of your knees. This is a heavy piece of armor. And I wish I had photos to show you, but this is a heavy part. And so obviously the idea of the breastplate was to protect the most vital organs of the soldier, particularly the heart, particularly the heart. You have to know the enemy wants to get at your heart this morning. He wants your heart. The Bible says to guard your heart. When it, you know, it's not just meaning as in protect it, it means watch over the condition of it. The enemy wants at your heart. He wants to fill your heart with guilt, condemnation, and shame. He wants to make you feel worthless and guilty. Because if he can get you feeling worthless and guilty and condemned, he knows you won't step up and live in the full life that God has for you. Do you know psychologists will even tell you that guilt and shame are two of the most toxic emotions to the human heart? Guilt and shame are so destructive that people will do whatever they can to just rid their feelings of guilt, whether it's substance abuse or whatever it is, anything to push down the feelings of guilt and shame. You know what? You don't have to live with any guilt and shame in your life. No matter what you did, whatever has happened in the past, Jesus died to set you free from shame and set you free from guilt. The enemy is so cunning. This is how he works. He's worked in my life this way. He tempts you to sin. He tempts you to do what you know you shouldn't do. He tempts you to make it feel appealing. And when you give in to the temptation, then he turns on the other side and says, you rotten, awful sinner. And then he condemns you for the very thing he tempted you in. And there's this awful, rotten cycle that goes on because he knows that condemnation is so destructive. But my Bible says, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. In Christ Jesus. I have right standing with him, cleansed by his blood. With no condemnation. And when you walk in that, it protects your heart from every demonic assault that wants to come against your life. Knowing you're forgiven and cleansed helps you walk strong. As I was preparing this, I kind of felt the Holy Spirit just quicken something to me as I was preparing this. But as I began to think about the Roman soldier who would put the breastplate on, This thing, it had some flexibility. It did give them flexibility because like sheets of metal together. But once the sheet of armor was put on, really the only posture that the soldier could really take was to stay upright. Once the breastplate goes on, it's very hard for the soldier to bend over or even sit down because of the breastplate. And it was like the Holy Spirit was saying this, when you're walking in the breastplate of righteousness, your posture changes. All of a sudden, you begin to walk in life with your shoulders back, tall, strong. You can take your stand because you're confident, not in your own ability and not in your own arrogance and your own intellect, but in Christ's righteousness. I'm tall and I'm strong because of his righteousness in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. Shoes of the gospel of peace. Shoes of the gospel of peace. He says, put on the shoes of the gospel of peace. Now, we come to this, buying them. I'm a shoes man. Shoes man through and through. I love buying them. I love having different options. I just love shoes. You know, you're thinking, why are you even telling me this? I don't know why I'm telling you this. But anyway, Christmas ideas. I've already given you two Christmas ideas, shoes and Roxette tickets. But when I was over in Los Angeles, there was this shoe warehouse that I went to in Hollywood. And this place, right, I kid you not, was like three times the size of this building. Like you got out of breath just walking to the end of the building. It was so big that I spent like 2.5 hours in that store just in shoe heaven walking up and down and Nikes and everything is cheap and the options there. I think I came home with like 6 pairs of shoes. Shoes for the kids, shoes for Amy, shoes for me, shoes for everybody. You get a shoe, you get a shoe. Everybody gets a shoe. But seriously, these shoes are not Reebok pumps. These shoes, oh boy, help me, Jesus. But these shoes, right, that the Roman soldiers wore, and not even those strappy kind of cool sandals that girls wear, that's not the idea of the shoes here. The shoes were metal shoes, and on the bottom were like 3-inch cleats, metal spikes on the bottom of these shoes. These were literally killer shoes, man. Oh, you didn't get that. You'll catch up soon. But these cleats on the bottom of, I'm having fun this morning. It's one of those days. The cleats on the bottom of the shoes would give the soldier stability, real stability. And notice that Paul says that it's the shoes of peace, because peace gives you stability in your life. And when you lose your peace, you lose your stability. Peace gives you stability. The supernatural peace of God gives you a firm footing in life. You can stand strong no matter what the enemy throws at you, no matter how much he tries to get you off your assignment. You become supernaturally immovable in him because of the supernatural peace of God on your life. So important. It was those Roman shoes meant that the soldier could walk through any terrain, rocky, dirt, whatever it looked like, and they could walk through strong and stable and not be cut and not be bruised and not be damaged. And that's what happens when you walk in the supernatural peace of God. Things that should have wounded you, things that should have hurt you, things that should have wounded you, you don't have to walk in that. You can come through life's trials peaceful and fine and strong and whole in Jesus' name. I love the armor of God. You know, the enemy has set up situations for you. It talks about the ditches. He digs ditches, things in advance to trip you up. But when you walk in the supernatural peace of God, you can come through without any bitterness, without any resentment, with your joy intact and the life of God throwing through you. And when Paul talks about the shoes of peace, he's not just talking about them being defensive, he's talking about them being offensive too. Because peace is a weapon. It not only defends, it protects. You know why? Because in the fight, these soldiers with these shoes, because they were metal capped, they would literally lash out and try to kick the other soldier's shins. Because literally you could break the opposing soldier's shins with your feet with one kick. Nice. Steel cap boots, hey. It ain't just some nice little other piece of God. It's a weapon. It's a real weapon. Listen to what Paul says in Romans 16. The God of peace will soon crush Satan under where? Your feet. Your feet. I'm doing a lot of stamping today. The grace of our Lord Jesus be with you. See, the more you walk in supernatural peace, the more the enemy becomes under your feet. The more I hold my peace, the more the enemy has no place to intimidate me. You have to learn to walk in the supernatural peace of God through Christ Jesus. Amen. The shield of faith. The shield of faith. I love this one so much. You know, there's a reason in the Bible we're called believers. I know we don't sort of say that too much in the Western church, but in Sri Lanka, you're known as a believer. Or that person, that's a believer. And I think that's a really, really good phrase, because the question in life is always this: whom and what are you going to believe? In whom and what are you going to believe? This battleground is waged on faith. You know, there's a battle raging on for your faith right now. In fact, your faith is the most precious part about you. It says that it's worth more than gold, according to God. It's so precious. And the enemy only tries to steal what's precious. So it makes sense that he would try to rob your faith, because you overcome through faith, right? And so I said last week that the unseen realm is the book of Job, because even the whole thing is aware of your faith. So aware of your faith. If I had time, I'd unpack the book of Job, because even the whole story of Job is really not really about suffering. It's about faith. It's about faith. That's another story for another time. But anyway, but here's the thing about the shield. It's so important. The important thing about the shield was it had to be held out in front and up high. The position of the shield was important. There was no point having it here. The shield had to be held out in front. And the same thing in your life. Faith goes before. You have to hold your faith out in front of you. Now, there were two kinds of shields in Roman times. I didn't know this. This is really cool. The first kind of shield was the ceremonial Roman shield. And this is the shield.